Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night. I was going to say every Saturday night. I was going to say every Friday night. What was I going to say, bud?
I don't know.
Anyway, every night here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast. You know what was happening to me? I was taking a sip of coffee, and it's just as lousy as usual.
You want a fine? Why don't you go back to Starbucks?
I'm not drinking Starbucks anymore. It's too many calories. Thank you. Anyway, welcome to the program. The number is 877-876-7445, and we're also online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. We have a live streaming video of the show right now, our video cast, Phil TV in HD, high-definition picture. It's a beautiful thing. You can look at me and watch what we do, and I can tell you this, as far as radio shows go, there's none more interesting to watch than ours, and that's a fact. Anyway, tonight we're going to be talking about a variety of stories, none too earth-shaking. I think we've probably covered the Miami story as much as we can stomach for now. We'll be back on it if events and information warrants. But we're going to be talking about something a little bit more personal, and perhaps, although it's a strange story in and of itself, perhaps closer to home than the horror of what happened in Miami. And that is the story here, folks, of this couple who, a self-proclaimed Nazi and his wife, who named their children Jocelyn Aryan Nation and Adolf Hitler Campbell. And I believe there's another child named Horselin Hitler, age 4. They were taken into custody in January of 2009, and the state has basically said, you don't get your kids back. And the reason why they're saying that is because they find, I don't think it takes a brain surgeon, they find that there's something wrong, something really wrong with parents that would name their children in such a manner so as to socially stigmatize them. Even if you think it's the best thing in the world to do, I think there's an argument to be made. And so that's a form of a sort of a child endangerment or child abuse, so that your kid goes out into public, maybe to school. What's your name? My name's Larry Adolf Hitler. And he gets his ass beat up about 6 days straight. I don't know. But state officials also took another son, Horse Campbell, from his parents, Heath and Deborah Campbell, just hours after the child was born in November. So they're having kids taken away from them. Now, Phil TV in HD, if you are watching us online, here's a picture of the father a number of years ago. He's got an Adolf Hitler mustache. This cat actually cut his mustache into the shape of, probably the guy would say it's Charlie Chaplin. He's got he's got a neck tattoo, and I'm not saying that the neck tattoo is anything, although neck tattoos generally indicate either some kind of a badass nature, like was the guy a gangbanger or something?
Yeah, it might be prison, too.
It might be what they call, what, prison ugly? All right, so that's him. Then he has on the other side of his neck, very clearly there, a swastika. This is the father of these children. All right. But that's him. He's got a neck tattoo, and he's got the swastika, and he's got Adolf Hitler's mustache. That's him. His kids don't have a Adolf Hitler mustache, and so on and so forth. So they took this man's children away, I'm imagining here, because the children were with these names. Now, the children were targeted somehow by the parents, or were going to be affected directly by the state's opinion, by the bad judgment of these parents. Now, interestingly enough, we are fortunate to have on the phone tonight from L.A. Canyon High School in North L.A. County, Justin McElroy. He's on the a student prefecture council. He is a junior class president. He is a young man who's actually studied this case, and you did a paper on it for a social sciences class, did you not, Justin? By the way, welcome to our show. Thanks for being with us.
I did do the paper, Mr. Hendry, and it was...
go ahead.
It was a paper that I had done earlier in the year. It was about effects of like occupation, different jobs that people would have, and how those jobs affect their kids. And
so was this a continuation of that?
Well, what happened was I did that paper for our social sciences social sciences teacher, Mr. Afridi, who was asking, you know, for that, and then I asked him if I could do another one because this was more interesting to me.
So you were basically looking at how parents indirectly affect.
Yeah, well, I mean, how parents affect the social development of their kids by the things that they do, like having a job that may be a very strange job. Like we studied, there were people who, for instance, there's people who are commercial fishermen that they're gone from the house for several months of the year, and there's people that are forest rangers and they're gone for a long time. So, but then I did this one.
All right. So in any event, you did this paper on this family because you felt that this father and this mother were obviously having this kind of an impact. It was an unusual relationship.
Yeah, it wasn't so much an unusual relationship as it was just the unusual preoccupations of the parents. That's why I was saying for parents to name their kids this kind of name. And when I finished the paper and I turned it in and I was given a non-mark, it was like a zero. It's not an F, it was a zero. Because my teacher in the class, Mr. Fruity, he's not a very good teacher. He's new to the country. He's, I think he's Middle Easterner, or not Middle Easterner, but I mean he comes from the Middle East. And I don't think he understands how America is because my father talked to him and my mom did too.
And well, what did he give you the zero for?
Well, I mean, in the paper I said that the parents naming their kids was technically only their business, and it would not have no effect on the kid, you know. And
you don't think naming a kid Adolf Hitler or naming a kid?
Well, I mean that really wasn't the kid's name, and the kid's name is it's Adolf Hitler Campbell, but I mean his last name is Campbell, which means mostly in just day to day activities, his name would be Adolf Campbell.
And all right, I mean, that's true, but the fact remains that with a middle name that would be required on applications, kids do ask, what's your middle name, you know?
Well, yeah, that's true, but I think that that's more of a social interaction between the children that needs to be worked out, but to take kids away from a parent just because they named the kid Adolf Hitler, or because in the one case of the girl, her name was Aryan Nation. And
was that her middle name?
Yeah, her name's Jocelyn Aryan Nation, which I guess her last name is Campbell too. But to take the kids away from the parents just because they have unusual middle names, you know?
Well, I mean, I think, and I understand what you're saying. This is your view.
Well, I mean, it's not just my view, but it was also. It was also my. I mean, I don't know. I didn't really ask anybody what they thought, but it's not just my view. I pretty much looked through. It's hard to argue against the freedom of, you know, the rights that and the freedoms that you have, especially when it comes to your kids, to raise them how you wanna, and the government coming in and telling no, and the government coming in and telling no, you can't.
All right, I understood. So your teacher gave you a zero. What did he say was the reason?
He said that that he couldn't. He said he gave me a zero because he didn't want to fail me, because he wasn't quite sure. He didn't understand what I was saying. And that's what I said. He's probably a Middle Easterner.
What do you mean he didn't understand?
Well, he said that. Well, he understood. He thought I was kidding. He gave a lot of reasons to my father that didn't make any sense. My father went to the school principal and basically said it. You know, he said, well, he's a Middle Eastern guy who's, you know, are you sure that he should be teaching my son? Stuff like that.
And why did your father say that? I mean, maybe I ought to ask you.
Well, my father, Mr. Hay.
Maybe I ought to ask you what your father's political persuasion is.
It's got nothing to do with my father's political persuasion. It just, he wanted to know why this guy didn't get it about being free to live the life you want to live.
Well, the man gave you a zero, as I understand the way grading is done, most likely because he didn't think your reasoning was sufficient and maybe wants to you to take another run at it or do a little more explaining before he either fails or passes you. Do you think?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I told him. I said to, I had to tell him that I'm on the student council. And I said to him, Mr. Afridi, you're from another country. You're an Arab. Or I think that's what he is. I said, how can you hope to understand how an American wants to be free to live his life how he wants to? You know?
Well, you said this to a teacher? What you're saying, man?
Yeah, well, I mean, he wants to fail me because I said that you have the right to call your kid Hitler. And he wants to fail me because I said you have the right to name your kid not, you know, Nazi girl if you want. I mean, I don't know what. And
well, but he didn't fail you. He gave you a zero.
Yeah, because he wanted me to explain it more like you were saying. And I told him I already did explain it. And, you know, and that's why I went home to my dad. My dad came and said that I used the term camel jockey to him or something. And I don't remember saying that, but my father said if my son used the word...
Wait. Did you call this man a camel jockey?
No, I didn't. I mean, my dad said if I did, I had my reasons, but I do not honestly remember calling him a camel jockey.
All right, so what we have here, Jason, is you saying you had a paper, you felt that this family had the right to call their kids Adolf Hitler. This is in the paper you did for social sciences. Your teacher wants you to redo the paper because he gave you a zero. He didn't fail you, but he also didn't pass you. Your father got involved and said that your son had, that you had the right to call this guy a camel jockey?
He said that it was understandable given what I, my father's not raised. He's not against blacks or anything. He just felt that it was wrong of this guy to judge me right away if I used camel jockey. But I did not call him a camel jockey. I'm almost sure I didn't.
Well, are you 100% certain you didn't?
I'm almost totally sure.
You're almost totally sure, which means you might have.
No, sir. No.
Well, then what does it mean to say you're almost totally sure?
I didn't say camel jockey.
All right, hold the line, 877-876-PHIL. We have Justin McElroy. We're actually talking about the story of two parents who called their kids, named their children, in one instance, Adolf Hitler Campbell, in another instance, Jocelyn Aryan Nations, and in another instance, Horselin Hitler. These are the names of their children. They've had their children taken away from them by the state. What state is this, bud? In any event, they've had their children taken away from them by the state. They are not fit to raise these children because they're naming them these names. And this young man, Justin McElroy, wrote a paper defending their right to call their kids what they want as an American freedom. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Hold on for a minute here. 877-876-PHIL. Talking with Justin McElroy here, a high school senior, and we're discussing a paper that he wrote for a social sciences class about a couple naming their kids. What state were these people in, Justin?
I'm not really sure what state they're in, but I don't think it was not really important. I mean, what was important was that they had their rights, you know, removed from them. Of their rights to be, you know.
Let me ask you something. I don't mean to insult your intelligence. I'm not trying to. You are aware who Adolf Hitler is?
I'm sorry, sir.
You are aware of who Adolf Hitler is?
Well, I mean, what I wanted to tell you is, I'm on the student prefecture council, Mr. Henry. I am our junior class president, and you know, this man, my teacher, this Afridi, who is Arab and is not. You know, I don't think he speaks English that well. That's not my point.
No, I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you, do you know who Adolf Hitler is? You do, don't you?
Well, I mean, the history of Adolf Hitler is taught, you know, and we've taken in world history. And
but you know what this man did, right?
In World War II, yeah. I mean, he was the president of Germany or something.
he wasn't the president of Germany. He was the chancellor of Germany. He was the dictator of Germany. He was the what they called the Führer. You're aware? Do you know? In other words, what I'm saying is the impact that the naming of children of Hitler and Aryan Nation, which is a group that represents white supremacist thinking, right, white supremacist philosophy in this country, and is part and parcel of that kind of racist thinking in the mid-20th century that got the world into so much trouble.
Well, I mean, I think that's a political point of view that you... I mean, I don't doubt that what you're saying is true, but I don't think it really matters if you're a Democrat, a Republican, or...
We're not talking about Democrats or Republicans. We're talking about Nazis. That's the difference, okay? Hold on for just a minute. Let me just get a phone call up here. 877-876-PHIL. This is Lonnie. Go ahead, Lonnie. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Speaking to this issue about these kids that were taken away, they were not taken away because the dad said that they were taken away because of their names. The state took them away because there was a history of abuse in the family. I mean, at one point, they were originally taken away because, you know, at one point the mom slipped a note under the neighbor's door. This was reported by ABC News, that it was slipped under the neighbor's door saying that she was terrified of her husband because he threatened to kill her. And there was a history of abuse in the family, and that's what prompted the state to step in. The dad, there was a gag rule on this issue because of the names were so sensitive, but the dad broke the gag rule and said that he believed that they were taken away because of their names. And it's ironic because I was trying to find the history on this story, what happened to the parents, because it looks like the dad's in state, but he's not allowed to see the kids because he's especially violent, and the mom has moved away from the kids. So I don't know if it's the story. I'm trying to piece through the story and all these different reports I was reading.
Can I say something, Mr. Ray?
Go ahead.
I think that there's a lot of political sensitivity that is swirling around this, and
I think that's projection. I think that's projection. And I think it's an easy political tool for people to say, our rights are being threatened, the government wants to take your kids away. The government is not interested in taking our kids away from parents. I don't know if you know anything.
Look at what's going on. I did a paper on this, and they named their kid Hitler, and they came and took the kid.
That's not how it happened. That's not why it happened.
Well, I mean,
it happened when some bakery refused to print that name. It caused a stir. But these people, this is how the whole thing came to light.
A bakery.
Let the lady finish here, Justin, so we can hear.
Right
yeah.
Well, she's saying a bakery.
Adolf Hitler.
How are you going to get a bakery to take your kids away?
Sir, we're not talking about a bakery. They came in and they had a cake made for one of the kids for birthday that had the name Hitler on it, and that alerted the press.
The press.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And when the press found out, I mean, you're saying this man has a history of abuse. I think that is a fairly. I mean, I'm not trying to disrespect what the lady's saying, but that's kind of typical when they want to, you know, get a political thing. They'll say, you were violent anyway.
Have you ever been involved in child abuse or child welfare cases yourself personally? Because I have. And I'll tell you, the states do not want to take people's kids away. The biggest, most important thing any custody judge wants to do is keep the families reconciled. If they think the parents have a problem, they want to put them into therapy. They want to help the families stay together.
If that was true, then they would be helping the Hitler kid parents,
the fact is we don't know all the facts of this case because there's a gag rule on it. All we know is what some man who was apparently, you know, we don't know if that's even true. His wife slipped a note under and said she threatened to kill him, so we don't know the facts of the case.
I think there's a lot of lies going on, and I think the Hitler guy, or whatever that guy's, the dad?
Yeah.
I think he's probably being persecuted because of his Nazism.
Persecuted.
Well, I think that's a projection.
Yeah.
I think that's a
I don't know what you mean by projection.
If you want to believe that you are being persecuted, that's what you're going to say.
Okay. Well, thank you. thank you. I just heard a belch or something, son, and you really have to.
I apologize. I apologize.
Okay. Thank you, Lonnie, very much. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show here. We are talking with Justin McElroy, a high school senior who believes that the family that named their children Adolf Hitler and Aryan Nations should have that right and had their children taken away from them by the government because the government is stamping out their right to express themselves as parents. Now we find out from that one caller there might have been physical abuse. 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, is going to be on the line with us with some of his comrades from Bradley Military Academy at our next hour of news and talk. And I think we're going to be talking, among other things, about hockey, which seems unusual for military academy guys to talk. Well, no, not really. I guess they like sports, but to have that be one of the focuses will be interesting. We're talking here with Justin McElroy. He is also a high school student. He's with L.A. Canyon High School in Northern L.A. County. As we're talking about a paper that you did, you support these folks in your paper.
Yes, sir. And I think, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry.
Let me just say that you wrote this paper supporting this family, calling their kids Hitler. You believe that the state is taking the kids away for no just cause.
Yes, sir. And let me just say that you asked me some questions there that, I mean, I don't think they were really pertinent to what we're talking about.
Which ones?
Well, I mean, you were asking me about Hitler and what did he do and everything. And
well, I just wanted to
But I don't think it's relevant to the freedom of speech, okay? Because, like, okay, here's something a lot of people never really point out. Even though you may say stuff that I don't like, I have the right to defend you, okay?
No, I mean, I think people point that out.
Well,
I mean, you have the ACLU, which defends Nazis all the time, and the ACLU is, they take cases on both sides.
Yeah, well, the ACLU, they're very suspicious given their left-wing politics, though.
But I'm saying the ACLU, you may say they have left-wing politics, has gone to court before on behalf of the American Nazi Party, on behalf of the white supremacists, to defend their right to, you know, march. Let me take a phone call here, 877-876-PHIL, and on the line with me is Tom. Go ahead, Tom, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, how are you, Phil?
Good, sir, thank you.
Is this gentleman serious?
Well, I'm...
You go ahead, you're on your own. I'll tell you, Justin, go ahead.
The situation that you're talking about...
I'm serious only because I did a paper on it for our social sciences class.
Okay. Did you do any research on it, though? Do you know how that whole thing went down? Do you have any idea how it all went down?
On Hitler or on the name?
With the cake and the child,
yes,
the kid?
Yeah.
Do you remember how did you do any research on that?
Yes, I did, sir. The kid's name is Hitler, and the state came in and took the kid away, which is that's what we're saying is bad.
That's not what they did. They went and they looked into the situation because of the cake to start. Hang on one second, I'll explain it to you. And then after looking into it, they found that there was some abusive things going on when they were monitoring the family. And then that's when they stepped in. So you don't even, if you even looked into this at all, you would know what happened.
Yeah,
sir.
I did.
It's not a matter of, that just alerted them.
Of his name's Hitler. That's what
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, what do you think? Don't you think they have the right to name their kid Hitler? That was what I was trying to say.
Yeah, but this gentleman is saying the initial interest by the state, Justin.
No, I know what that's the other lady said that. What's that got to do with anything?
Well, hold on for a minute, man, because if you're saying this, I don't mean to take your the thunder here, Tom.
Hello?
But this, we're here. Go ahead,
okay,
sir.
Go ahead, all right. No, but the bottom line...
I'm just
line
saying that what you're saying is right. The guy, the state came in as the result...
You guys don't even know what you're talking about.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. The state came in and took these kids because there was the
let me ask you
the name.
Did they grade this paper? Did they grade this paper?
Yeah, I got well, first of all, that's why my dad spoke to the school, because the teacher that we have is new to the country, and I don't think he understands how Americans think. And
well, they gave him a zero. Isn't that what they gave you?
He gave me a zero, meaning he wants me to
probably because you didn't do enough research to find out the bottom line to the whole story, my friend.
I did. Let me ask you something. What was the first thing? What was the first thing that got the state to do it?
What was the first
What was the first thing that happened? Came in from
a bakery or I think it was a supermarket,
exactly.
Actually.
Exactly.
And the bottom line. Wait one second.
That's what I'm saying.
The state was concerned that the child would have to go through the... They didn't think it was real at first, to be honest with you. That's the way it started. And then the next thing you know, it escalated, that it was in fact true. And then I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that one of their other children was named another Nazi name.
Yeah, there's another kid by the name of Jocelyn Aryan Nation, and then there's another
Aryan
kid
Nation,
named Horselin... Horselin
Himmler.
So
the bottom line is, the research that you did for your paper... You don't even have all the information in it. Did you have anything about Jocelyn?
I do have about...
You did.
Her name is Jocelyn Himmler.
And when it started, how much longer did it take before they actually took the child or the children?
When they found out the kid's name was Hitler, it became...
Where they just came in and took the kid?
It was pretty fast.
Did they come in there right away and take the kid?
It was within...
How long did it take?
Well, you can't just come in and take. You have to go to court and say they named the kid
Hitler. If you're telling me that they just came in and took the kid, I want you to tell me. If you did research on this, you would know this. How long did it take from when they initially got involved to them taking the child or the children?
It was probably...
Probably. No, no, no.
It was probably pretty fast. It was probably pretty fast.
What?
If you did research on this, you would know the answer to that.
You already said, sir, that the reason why the state got involved is because some, you know, guy in a donut shop saw the name. And when he saw the name, that's why they went to
They refused to put the cake together. The parents, wanted the cake.
Look, here's what you're missing. You're missing, if I may, Justin, you're missing this. The fact is, the state was told about this family, okay?
Correct.
And
yeah, and then what did the state do?
Well, all right, they investigated.
Yeah, and why?
Because of the Hitler name. Can't say that on the air.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I appreciate your calls. Go ahead. Make your final point, sir.
If I call my son or daughter by abusive names, I would hope that somebody would call up and alert them, because I don't want my kids to be called those types of names.
Okay,
or if I put a name on
my
head.
Your phone broke up there. What? Okay, his phone's crapping out. Thank you very much for your call, sir. Appreciate it, Tom. 877-876-PHIL. Are you there?
Yes, and all I'm saying, Mr. Henry, is that's exactly why the state got involved in the first place, because the kid's name was Himmler.
No, the reason why, you were talking about why the state took the children away. That's what you're talking about, right?
I'm talking about why the state, it's all one large package of what, you know, when I went to Mr. Afridi, this is an example of what he doesn't understand, and I was joking, I said, this is the John Holmes, and what I meant by the John Holmes is, it's a big package. And when I said that, he's all, ooh, what do you mean, John Holmes? Ooh, what do you mean, John Holmes? So my father had to go to him and say, you know, look, you know, Aladdin or whatever. And
well, what is it with you and your dad going to this guy because he's an Arab? What's the story here?
It's not because he's an Arab.
That's exactly what you've been saying. And what do you mean, Aladdin? Is his name Afridi?
Well, yes, sir, but he's all, well, I don't understand this, sir.
What do you mean, the John Holmes, the big package? You sound like you and your dad both...
Well, okay, if you're a liberal, Mr. Henry, then I understand.
No, I'm trying to get some information out of you. If you have a paper that you do for high school, because I did high school papers, I'm not saying they're done the same way anymore, I'm not saying anything like that, I'm just saying, don't you have to spell it out? The guy didn't fail you. He didn't give you an F. He didn't say, ooh, you bad American, look what you said about these people. Or, you know, he gave you a zero.
Yeah, but then my dad had to go and say, don't you understand what my son's saying when he said the Johnny the Wad?
Johnny the Wad.
Forget it.
Oh, for God's sake. Do I got to call this kid back now and apologize to him? Is that what I got to do? That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life, man. Call him back, bud. Hey, Mr. Afridi, here's the Johnny the Wad. Here's the Johnny the Wad on my paper. You got him back? Yeah. I'm sorry, Justin. I didn't mean to laugh.
Well, I mean, but you did, sir, and I worked very hard, and we've got a whole generation of Americans that are coming up now, and we're trying the best we can to say, okay, thanks a lot. Really appreciate the world you just handed us. What did we do to deserve this? So anyway, I'm working hard and I got friends of mine that have quit school. And I'm trying to do everything I know how.
Okay, I apologize. When you talk about the big package, what do you mean?
That's why I said Johnny the Wad.
No, I know that, but what do you mean by the big package?
The package is the kid's name is Adolf Hitler or something, and he named the kid, Herman Hitler or something, and they took the kids away. And you got these people calling up, and they're all going, yeah, well, he doesn't have all the information, Mr. Henry. I do have the information. The reason why the state...
What state are we talking about?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter. You got to understand what's going on in schools today. And
what's going on in schools today? I'm just asking you, what state?
It doesn't make any difference what state. The fact is, the government came in and stepped on a family because they're named a kid in a name they didn't want no kid to have. You know? And because of that, I'm getting stepped on, and you're getting stepped on. And
all I'm asking you, and I won't bother you anymore, but I mean, I'm just asking you, the kid's name was Hitler, and then the state said, yeah, wow, that's weird, so they looked into the family, and then they took the kids away, not because the name was Hitler, otherwise they could have come right down there, couldn't they, and take the kids away?
Well, they pretty much did.
Well, that's what that gentleman was asking. That's why... If they came right away and took the kids away, you'd say, well, wow, I guess the name's bad.
That's what they did. I mean, essentially they did. I don't know how long it took, but you got to go through a process of, wow, I don't know what they do, but I mean, they got to go, well, yeah, the kid's name is Hitler. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Okay. Well, get some police officers, and if there is a high crime rate, that, yes, there is, probably, I think that guy said New Jersey.
Well, you wrote the paper.
I don't know. But then they don't have no cops to go there. And so it could take a few weeks to go over and get the kid and take the kid down to whatever a kid home they put him in. Or I don't know. But
see, you're talking about kid homes and you don't know the state. It doesn't sound like a very well-written paper. And
well, I mean, that's your opinion. You know. But my father had to go down and set this guy straight. You know.
Yeah, I'm sure your dad set him straight. 877-876-PHIL. Hey, how come my kid can't use Johnny the Wad in his paper? He's talking about the big package. I better not laugh. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, talking with a young high school senior from Northern L.A. County who wrote a paper, a social sciences paper, on the family who named their children Adolf Hitler and variations of that name. The children have been taken away because of physical abuse in the family, not necessarily because of the names, although the names did alert the authorities to look into the case file. So that's what we're struggling with here. 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I mean, they named the one kid, you know... We'll be right back.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I understand it. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Justin McElroy, a high school senior, joining us as we talk about the couple who named their children Adolf Hitler, Aryan Nation. What is the name of this child? Horselin, is that her name?
There's a four-year-old child named Horselin Himmler and Jocelyn Aryan Nation.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to know the name. All right, so we continue with this discussion about this family that had the children taken away. You believe the children were taken away because of the names. We are hearing from a lot of people saying that the children were taken away because of abuse in the family.
Right, yeah, and I'm saying the paper that I did was, I'm not saying that I agree, but I'm trying to be objective on the topic. And I said, okay, it seems to me like they're being politically, put down and shot down because of the political part. And so, and then my dad, asked this Mr. Afridi, who's my teacher, what was wrong with me. I mean, the whole Johnny the Wad thing was just because I said, what's the big package? And I said to Mr. Afridi, that's the Wad. And he got all, what are you talking about? Porn movie and everything.
I've never heard of such a discussion taking place between a teacher and a student.
Well, I mean, it's just the way that I identified.
Yeah, I understand that, but to take up time like that sounds crazy. Let's go to a phone call, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Robert. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Robert. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, young man, the reason why the teacher gave you a zero is undoubtedly you did not research this paper. You did not know the name of the father, the mother. You do not have the total facts on the case. You don't know what state that this took place in.
That's not important.
It is important. If you're writing a paper, or, young man, if you're writing a paper to turn it in, you need all the facts. You don't need to just skim over everything. You need the facts. You need to get it all in line and straight. Young man, you're saying, it doesn't matter. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, that they took the kids because they were named Adolf Hitler and you think it's okay. That's fine. But the reason why you got a zero on the paper was because you did not research. You did not get everything straight. You did not do due diligence in your paper. That's why you got a zero. Not because your teacher was Middle Eastern, but because your teacher was a good teacher.
First of all, tell me what difference it makes. And I said this to Mr. Afridi, and my dad said it to him too. And my dad's all, what difference does it make what state it's in? And this Mr. Afridi's all, well, he has to know the state. And my dad goes, yeah, but what do... See, my dad was able to just make this guy look stupid. And
wait a minute. This is the teacher of the social sciences class. In order to have a grasp of this topic, you need to know what state. You want to know why? Because there's different state laws. There's different family child welfare agencies. There's differences in terms of how law enforcement approaches these things.
What? I mean, neither one of you guys have been able to tell me yet what difference it makes. And you said I don't know the name of the parents? Yes, I do. Their name's Campbell.
Okay, what are their names?
Campbell. The names are Campbell.
What is their first name?
Well, I mean, see, that's the part that I'm saying, Mr. Henry.
No. That's the point, is you did not research. If you can't tell me their first names, you did not research. You didn't
do sir,
you're just wanting to make you feel like everybody's against you. Now, young man, what it is your generation does not look at, you need to get the whole package, as you're saying. Okay, young man, then get the whole package. Then get all of the facts. Get everything straight.
Well,
get everything done correct. Then you have the whole package. You do not have the whole package, young man, because you did not do all of the research correctly.
But I asked Mr. Afridi, I go, why do I got to know their names? And he's all blah, 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 blah. I go, yeah, but you didn't tell me why.
Wait a minute. You're not arguing with the teacher about the assignment. He's telling you what it is. You understand?
Yeah, but what difference?
It doesn't make any difference, man. You don't stand there and go, yeah, but why do we got to do this? Why do we got to do that? This is a period of your life where you have to learn certain forms and certain disciplines. Whether you think it's important or not does not matter, because you, as what we have learned in society over the years is our young people need to learn certain disciplines and certain forms and certain ways of thinking and studying so that this can be applied later on in life.
Yeah, and that's stupid, because when you need to know the first name of a guy that named his kid Hitler, if I want to, like, I want to be a chemical engineer, why do I need to know the name of a guy that named... of a guy? Why do I need to know the name of a guy that was the name of the guy that he named the kid?
What?
Well, because you might not be able to know the name of the chemicals.
Because you got to retain information. Yeah, you got to retain information.
Yeah, can I retain chemicals?
Oh man, who's Adolf Hitler?
I told you, Mr. Henry.
Who is he? I forgot.
Yeah, right.
Okay, just tell me, who's Adolf Hitler?
I said that he was the president, or not the president, but he was the leader of Germany.
Okay, when?
See, that's what I told Mr. Friede. What difference does it make?
What difference does it make? You
yeah,
don't even
man,
know who Hitler...
he is the one that you're saying... You're trying to defend Adolf Hitler, but you do not know anything about Adolf Hitler. You're trying to defend these people to name their child after a man... they killed almost 6 million people. Young man, what you need to do is go back and do your research, and then this teacher might give you a grade.
I don't think it's fair to have to know. I mean, I know he's the teacher, but why does he... I just think it's a jip.
It's a jip, huh?
Yeah, it's a jip. The other day, I was talking to this one guy...
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows, quite frankly, wish they could, but they can't. I don't know why they want to. I mean, this is a hard show to do, but we're very happy to do it. And we do it every night, and we're on our website every night with live streaming video. All you have to do is go to philhendryshow.com, get a backstage pass, watch our live streaming video, listen to the thousands of hours of archived radio, listen to and view other archived video clips that we have. And while you're on site, you might click the free podcast link. That takes you to our twice weekly free Phil Hendry podcast. Twice weekly, we deliver a free podcast for people that might want to take advantage of our website. So head on over to philhendryradio.com if you want. Or philhendryshow.com, which is our subscription site. 877-876-PHIL, our number. A lot of stuff to do in the news and information hour, which we will be getting into at the top of the next hour. Tons of strange news. Obviously, the Miami story still very, very hot, and the campaigns going on. We know that Mitt Romney now is enjoying the full focus of social commentators and comedians and so on and so forth. We're also going to have with us this hour R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. Bradley Military Academy is in Altadena, California, and R.C. has been on our program before. Where are you right now, R.C.?
Mr. Henry, right now we're in a, like, this is the just below our stadium. It's below our basketball stadium.
Well, what is there? Why am I hearing all that noise?
Oh, that's the heating and cooling system, and I guess it just kicked on. It just kicked on. That's why it's so real loud.
Well, if your guys are moving out of that area?
Yes, we are. We're just on our way up. We got finished with doing some PTs, which is what we call a PT is physical training outside, and we kind of got going a little bit late, but we're back at it, and, you know, we're ready to, we're good to go. That's all I can tell you about that.
All right, and so you guys are back. Are you going to the mess hall? I'm just trying to figure out where you guys are. Are you in transit?
Well, yeah, we're on our way, probably going to have some dinner, and we'll go back and study, and then we got lights out. But the reason why I wanted to be on your show tonight is I wanted to talk about how stupid people are when they talk about the cannibal of Miami. But I also want to say that kid you just had on, Mr. Henry, that one kid that you just had on, sir? The kid?
Yeah.
The one that was just on?
Yeah, Justin McElroy?
Yes, sir. That kid's about as stupidest kid that I've ever heard. And if he was a classmate of mine, we definitely blue sock him. There's no question that we would blue sock him. And
what is blue sock?
Well, it's something you do in the military, where when somebody screws up the unit, then the other members of the unit put him through physical situation, like physical torture or something. It's not torture, but
Is that like a red zone or code red or whatever that is?
I'm not familiar with that.
I've never heard of blue sock. I've heard of a code red, and that's only because I watched that movie. What the hell was that movie that they did, Bud?
Are you talking about for the few good men?
Yeah, A Few Good Men. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That's a movie about the Marine Corps, and they may have different ways of doing it. But at Bradley, we blue sock anybody that is in our unit, is in our dorm, or maybe even who's in the dorm room, and you will, you know, get the rest of the platoon together. And
now, how many guys are in a platoon?
In a platoon is 160.
Okay. And how many's in a, that's in a platoon?
Yes, sir.
How many's in a squad?
How many's in a squad? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got my squad with me right now. I'm a squad leader myself, Mr. Henry.
Okay, so you lead a squad?
Yeah, in our class, I'm a squad leader. And we've probably got about 12 or 13.
Okay, you're a little loud there.
We got about 12 or 13, but I was going to say, that kid, that Justin McElroy kid, would get a blue socking, which would probably be, it would probably involve, it's in stages where you will physically assault him. You're not going to do it bad. I mean, you're not going to do it bad where it's bad, you know. And,
well, what do you mean by bad? Breaking bones and...
Yeah, you're not going to do that. But then you elevate it up to, you'll do things that test his, you know, like you'll get into the bunk with him. And you'll start to act, well, sort of gay and everything, although you're not gay. And you test to see how well he can...
What is that, man? What is the point of all of this?
Well, when you blue sock a guy, you're punishing him for screwing up the rest of the squad, of the platoon squad. And
well, so you're all right. Now tell me about this. You get into the bunk with him?
Yeah, it's psychops. You ever heard of psychops? They do that a lot. And
yeah, I've heard of psychops. Yeah, psychological operations.
Yeah, that's what it is. And you'll get into the bunk with the guy and start going, basically just going full, you go full on gay to see if he can handle it. And
I don't understand what that is, and I don't please don't explain it.
Well, I mean,
don't explain it. I don't know, and I don't want to know. And I, to be honest with you, I understand that anytime the military, are you guys still that's very noisy.
Well,
I tell you what, hold on. After the next break, you guys can move if you can, because you're in an area where there's some machinery going. And
yeah, it's the system. It's the cooling system for the gym and for Temecula Stadium, which is the stadium named after one of the cadets that died. It's a memorial stadium, Sidney Temecula, and he died in the 50s. That's what they said. Yeah. He was a cadet that was involved in trying to take over the administration building, and the police came in and basically gunned him down, and they named the gym after him. So
why would they name the gym after a guy? Why would they name the gym after a guy? You know,
it's really not funny, Mr. Henry. From the story, if you read the inscription on the front of the building,
I understand that. But why would they name a building after a guy that tried to take over the administration building?
I think it's because the manner that he did it was admirable. It was done in a guerrilla style. I think that the commandant at the time, who I think was that Commandant Barn? Commandant Barn, or Bjorn? Commandant Bjorn, who said,
even though he'd been taken hostage and he'd been slapped around pretty good, he's the one that led the fight to name the gym after this guy, Temecula.
Boy, that's about as weird as it gets.
What?
What the story you just told me is about as weird as it gets. I never thought it possible.
Well,
You're telling me about a gym that's named after a guy who took your administration building over in the 50s, slapped around the commandant at that time, Commandant Bjorn, was that his name?
Yeah, Bjorn or Born? What's his name? Born.
Born, okay. Like B-O-U-R-N-E?
No, it's B-O-R-N. That's how you spell Born.
Yeah, that's how you spell Born.
What's so funny? I mean, I didn't come on your program. I wanted to talk about...
Okay, just hold on for a minute. So you got a guy that you named the gym after because he slapped around the commandant.
No, not because he slapped the commandant around, because he took over the gym in a military fashion that was admirable. The commandant thought was admirable. And it's, yeah, you're right. The commandant was taken hostage, and he had his ass kicked.
I can't even hear this kid. Okay, we're going to take a break, okay?
What?
You're going to have to clean that line up. I'm having a hard time hearing him, bud, and the stuff he's saying is weird enough. And get him out of that room with that bloody loud...
They're standing right under it.
Fine. Tell the kid to get someplace else. 877-876-PHIL. R.C. Collins commenting on the last caller, Justin McElroy, and some weird story about Bradley Military Academy naming the administration building after a guy that was so good at taking... was so good at taking people hostage that they named the building after him. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
God.
The Phil Hendry Show.
What do you think is so funny, Mr. Hendry?
Take it easy, will you?
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
What is that? Is that the thing?
The other stuff that they say to do, too.
Are you still in that room, young man?
What's that?
Are you still in that room, R.C.?
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, what happened is the squad leaders, we all had to stand at attention because somebody had... We had a disciplinary problem in the ranks during the last... I guess mess this afternoon, so we're all having to stand in rank here and stand in formation while the squad leaders. Yeah, I'm on the radio right now. While the squad leaders are going up and down and, you know, checking everybody's. Excuse me for saying this, but it's what we call butthole inspection. And
okay, watch the language, all right?
I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, we're not. You know, you're not talking to your buddies, and that room you're in is so loud.
It says the room I'm in loud. Yeah. Well, but anyway, what I was saying, Mr. Hendry, of the guy that, that they just shut down, I think it's going to be better now, of the guy that was on your show, see, I just don't think that's right for him to be talking the way that he was talking about, he just sounded like the stupidest kid that I've ever heard.
Can I get back to something, and do we have that kid's father?
Yeah, I got Dan McElroy.
Dan McElroy is on the phone, and Dan McElroy is the father of Justin McElroy, who I believe you folks remember from last hour. Let me get on the line with Dan. Dan, how are you?
Hello, Phil. Good.
Dan, we had your son on the line last hour. I also have a caller on with me, R.C.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Can you hear him, Dan? I'm not sure if you...
I don't...
Hi, it's R.C. Collins, sir.
Yes, R.C., how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, sir.
Bill, I'm calling because my son was visibly distressed when he got off the phone here a few minutes ago with you. Now, Justin is a fine student. I won't kid you and say he's a perfect boy.
Yes, sir.
Can I jump in, Phil?
Go ahead.
But I'm talking to the host of the show?
Yes, sir.
Can I jump in, Phil?
Let R.C., if you wouldn't mind.
Go ahead.
Are you going to interview me, or are you going to interview this guy, or what? How's this going to work? Because,
I'm only calling because I have concerns about how my son was treated on this radio program last hour.
Yes, sir, I know that, and I was just calling to... My name is R.C. Collins, sir, and...
Yeah, okay.
And I was commenting to Mr. Henry about your son.
Yes, sir.
I have to be honest with you, in the commentary that I did do, or that I had done, that I done...
That you did.
That I did.
Can you hear me?
We're having, it sounds to me, like a phone problem of some kind.
Well, let me, if I could, finish what my comment was. And you can say anything that you want to say, Mr. Colin.
My name is R.C. Colin, sir, not Colin.
I didn't say Colin, sir. I said Colin.
May I ask you at this time, sir, what country you're from?
No, you may not. Let me say to the host of the show, can I say what... It is that I called to say.
I tell you what, if you, yes, you can, Dan, if I may call you Dan.
Yes, of course.
All right. And R.C., you finish, if you wouldn't mind, Dan, let R.C., because he was on the program a little bit before you.
That would be fine.
Well, I mean, I'm going to have to say to the gentleman that I think your son came across as stupid. He sounded like a stupid idiot, and retarded, and is... probably one of the stupidest kids that I'd ever done, that I'd ever had seen in many of the years, where, I mean, I've only been in high school 4 years, but your son was so stupid that I wanted him to be at Bradley Military Academy for just...
I can't hear the man.
I can't either. You there?
And then we would do what we call a blue sock. And we would have to go and go to level 2, which is a full gay psychops.
You know what? I'm going to have to... Dan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Look, I didn't want the call to take a lot of time.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to ask my producer. Just put him on hold or deal with the R.C. Collins, this gentleman. I want to talk to Dan McElroy.
Okay, you want to put R.C. Collins on the air?
No, I do not want to put R.C. Collins on the air.
Is this the host of the show?
Yeah, I'm the host of the show. Hold on. What I want you to do...
Because of the things that they said in that book.
He's back.
Okay, just put him on hold.
Who, Mr. McElroy?
No, R.C. Collins.
How?
Like this. Are you there, R.C.?
Well, yeah, because I...
Okay, like that. There, I just put him on hold for you. Dan, are you there?
Yeah, and the question that I had there originally, Phil, was... My son was, I felt, treated badly. And I just heard some comments. Was that you, or was that a guest?
That was a guest who was talking about your son.
All right, I couldn't tell between the guest and you, and forgive me, I didn't know which was which, you know?
Yes, I'm the host, and...
And the man who... that was a very young voice, so he must be... that must have been... the guest, right?
Yes, that's the guest.
All right. Phil, my name is Dan McElroy. I'm the father of Justin McElroy, a senior. We have a home in Chatsworth that we built and have raised three sons. And I myself, the man that asked where I'm from originally, I come from Portugal. Portugal.
Your last name is McElroy.
Because my father was an Irishman, but we settled in my mother's town. My mother's from Lisbon, Portugal. And I worked my way from Portugal to the United States. I've taught my son to be a critical thinker. And the reason, and I know you have limited time.
I really do, sir, yes.
I apologize, but if you would allow me.
Go ahead.
I've taught my son to be a critical thinker. And that means that he will ask questions, and even if the figure he asks the question of is an authority figure, I've always told my son not to be afraid to ask a question. You can be a student. You can be a man of authority. Don't ever be afraid. Now, on your radio program last hour, and my wife, because I do an awful lot of traveling, has told me that Justin's been on your program before, sir.
Yes, he has. He's been a...
All right, that's fine. If I can finish what I'm saying. because I have limited time, too.
But he's been a guest on my show.
That's fine. I if you could allow me, and I will allow you to respond. But I don't want a whole song and a dance about my son on your show. The question is, has he been on your show? And your answer was an affirmation, correct?
Yes, sir.
Last hour, I heard my boy being called essentially almost a knuckle dragger. I heard my son called...
No one called him a knuckle dragger.
Well, I heard some people saying that he didn't do his research. They didn't know what a Johnny Wad was. I've always taught my boys the best way to learn is to use a shorthand that you can, it would be a common language you have with your professor or your teacher. So when Justin said to me, Dad, can I use, when we talk of the big package, I always told the boys, when you're studying or you're learning, you want to know what the big package of information is. Okay, capiche?
Yes, sir, I understand.
All right. So when I said to my son, well, the big package, he said, Dad, can I call it Johnny Holmes or Johnny the Wad or Blackzilla? And are you still there?
Yeah.
That's what he did.
You understand that...
I'm not done yet, if you would, you know...
But I'm doing a radio show, sir, coming up against a break.
I don't care what you're coming up against. I want to be heard.
Well, I'm going to have to cut you off.
Well, if you cut me off, I want to stay on your program, though, and be heard. Do you understand that? That's plain English.
Yes, I understand that. I don't like your tone.
That's fine. I'm not here to win friends and influence people. I'm here just to simply speak on behalf of my boy, who is, I think, probed and taken over your knee at...
We'll be right back. That's Dan McElroy, the father of Justin McElroy, who encourages his son to use shorthand when we're talking about a huge package of information, a big package. You can call it John Holmes, Johnny the Wad, or Blackzilla. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And now you're laughing at me.
Phil Henry.
All right, hold on. I want to just ask, Dan McElroy has joined me, Justin McElroy's father. We have R.C. Collins, who, yes, you're absolutely right, Mr. Collins. He is a senior cadet at Bradley Military Academy. The discussion this hour was going to be about the Miami so-called cannibal. And Mr. McElroy, would you mind if Mr. Collins is able to jump into this discussion?
I don't mind the man who was on before me, but I want to... make my point, and I'm not really interested in too much discussion tonight. My point is simply...
I want to just say something, sir, if I could.
No, I want to finish what I'm saying, and I'd be more than happy to hear what you have to say if there's time.
There may not be time, sir, because if you'll pardon me, sir,
You know, spit it out. You're very nervous.
Well, I am a little bit, and you're very intimidating, sir, but I'm a senior at a military academy. I'm trying to learn how to assert myself, and I was just saying about your son.
And you said about my son, you said he was retarded, you said he was stupid, you said he was, a nose picker, or you used something along these terms.
No, sir, you said that.
You were saying that, sir. R.C. didn't say that.
No, I did not say that. Yes,
you did. Before we went to the break.
Yes, I said I was quoting you, and I was quoting this man.
At no time did I ever say your son was retarded. As a matter of fact,
I don't think that that's the case. I was listening very carefully, Mr. Henry. Before you go any further, understand that I build a company, a nationwide chain of retirement homes. And we are putting 20 more in Canada. We have 7 more going in. And these are homes for elderly, retired people. They are assisted living center. I've built an empire as a business. That's the kind of businessman I am. I have an empire of places where our seniors can get a place to live and someone to deliver food to the room they're in, and they don't have to move. They can stay in their room. That's what we do. So when you try to dominate the conversation, you're talking to the kind of a guy who went into the assisted living industry and essentially rewrote the rules. That's who I am, Dan McElroy.
That's fine, sir. I'm going to have to just say now I'm the host of the show and I got to be heard.
I'm all ears, but I won't have my son called a mongoloid. And
I never called him any such thing.
Who called my son a gloid? What is that, Justin?
Somebody called me a gloid. I might have called him a gloid because, sir, I will.
And who am I speaking with? Is this R.B. or is this Mr. Cullen?
Sir, my name is R.C. Collins. It's not Mr. It's not Colin. It's not R.B. Colin.
Okay.
I mean, I'm doing the best to call your name the right way, what it said.
Oh, what language was that that you just spoke?
What?
What language did you speak there?
He said R.C. Collins is his name.
I'm not talking with you right now, Mr. Henry, if you don't mind. I'm simply trying to get to the bottom of why my son was called a mouth-breathing gloid or something like that, right?
That's what they said.
Sir, no such language was used on this show. No such language was used on this show. Do you understand?
Well, if you're laying down the law to me, you're laying down the law to the wrong guy. And
I'm not trying to lay the law down. I'm telling you no such language was used.
I never called your son a knuckle-dragging gloid. I did say he was a gloidomac.
What's a gloidomac?
It's just a high school term, sir. It doesn't mean anything. Yeah, can I?
Okay, you know, how many people am I talking to now?
Hold on, I want my boy. What?
Yeah, gloidomac is like a gloid. It's like a mongoloid. And it's a mongoloid and a maniac. Like Beatlemania? Remember when you were telling me about Beatlemania?
Yes, Beatlemania, yeah.
Okay, well, this is a gloidomac. It's not like gloidomania. They cut off mane to yak.
All right, so a gloidiac.
Yeah, a gloidiac.
The better way to say that word would be a gloidiac. Is that what you called my son?
Yes, sir, I did.
And you're in the military?
I'm at a military academy.
All right, I want to be heard here.
You've been heard, sir, for a long...
Hold on, please.
You've been heard for a long time. You'll be heard, but you've already been heard.
That's Mr. Henry.
You're Mr. Henry, right? Are you Mr. Henry?
Yes!
All right. I built an empire...
Yeah, of assisted living centers.
What do you do there? Do you, like, feed the old people cat food?
I'm gonna tell you something, sir. I don't feed old people cat food. My own mother, Justin's grandmother, is at our assisted living facility in Chatsworth, California.
I'm from Chatsworth, so there ain't much about Chatsworth you gonna say me that I don't meet, that I'd not know.
Okay. Great. William F. Buckley.
What's that mean? He's a smartass, Dad.
My son says you're a smartass.
Move it along or I'm gonna hang up.
Huh?
Move it along or I'm hanging up.
I'm just trying to say that when you called my son a gloidiac...
Mr. Henry didn't call him a gloidiac. Well, somebody did.
My son says someone did.
They're lying, Dad.
We never, ever, ever used that term. I don't even know what that is.
I mean, I called him a gloidiac, but I didn't say gloidomac or what the thing you said.
Did you ever use the term gloidomac?
No.
What is a gloidomac?
My son Justin tells me it's the combination of mongoloid and Beatlemania. So you come up with gloidomania, and I said, well, that doesn't make any sense, son, because I've always taught my boys to be reasonable and to be sensible in how they construct a sentence. So I said, why don't you go with gloidomac? And he said, okay, Dad, because that's the relationship I've got with my boy. Now, did you say, did he call you a Gloidomac?
Well, I mean, yeah, he did.
But did he call you a Gloid? What was it, Gloidiac? Did he call you that?
No, he didn't call me Gloidiac.
So you lied to me. Did you lie to me, Justin?
I did a little bit, yeah.
What have I said to you? You lie. When you lie, if you tell me the truth, then I will be kind to you, and I will give you things, and I will give you cars, and I will give you boats, and I will give you everything that you'd want. But when you lie to me, all bets are off.
Yes, sir.
Bend over.
All right, sir, I don't want to hear this.
Hold on, Mr. Henry. I've got more to say to you. Bend over.
What a pervert. You dirty little...
Thank you very much. Let's get back to Justin. Not Justin. Let's get back to R.C. Collins.
Why'd you cut it off?
What did you just say?
Sorry. Why'd you cut it off?
I'm not going to listen to him. The last thing I heard out of that guy's mouth was bend over. That's all I wanted to hear. Get R.C. Collins back on the line so we can get this freaking radio show back under control. What? So you're back in the gymnasium.
Yeah, they told us to get under the grandstand, so that's what we're doing every time we come out. It's what we call our Seymour Butts rally, because, you know. But, Mr. Henry, that Dan McElroy, I know that name, because I've seen that name in the news.
Do you study the guy?
No, I don't study. I've seen the name Dan McElroy, and I saw that name, I swear to God, I saw it in a couple of news stories having to do with finding, what was that one, Billy? Yeah, they found a couple of mummified old people, and Dan McElroy's name came up. And
mummified old people?
Yeah, they found an old lady dead. They found her, and she was dead. And she ain't never coming back, either.
Where did they find her?
Found her in one of the assisted living nursing homes that he owns.
You gotta be kidding me. Was this guy prosecuted?
I think so, yeah. And he still owns a bunch of these homes, too. And they found an old lady, they found another old man, and they found another old man and another old man. And, Jimmy was saying they probably found in total about nine old men.
Nine old men?
Yeah.
All right, this is so bizarre. I'm going to just take a break and try to collect my thoughts here. Dan McElroy, last I heard, and I didn't want to put that on the air, he was about to discipline his son for lying, for lying to him about Gloidomac or Gloidiac. Finding out now that this man owns assisted living homes throughout the United States where they have found dead, mummified elderly people. So that's a problem. And we still haven't gotten to the cannibal story in Miami that RC wanted to talk about. And he's back there in the gymnasium with the loud air conditioning system. So this is great. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
That's just nothing but a Gloidomac.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, we don't have a lot of time, and I don't want to get caught up in tons and tons of different arguments that are, you know, have nothing to do with each other. So I want to bring Mr. McElroy back on the line. He called originally because he had a complaint about the way that his son had been treated last hour on our show. Dan McElroy, who is the owner of the McElroy Assisted Living Centers in the United States. And so, sir, to the extent that we weren't able to let you get your story out, I know that you were disciplining your son, and we were obviously going to not air that.
That much I appreciate. And I'm apologizing to your listeners and to you, Phil, because I didn't want to humiliate myself. I didn't want to humiliate my son. And I didn't know that our phone line was open. But I did feel I had to deal with Justin because he had lied to me. And I don't ever want my sons to lie to me. When my sons lie to me, then I am no longer a trusted father. And I am more being treated as a jailer or just another guy on the street. And what I say to my wife and I say to my sons, when you lie to me, Now I'm just another guy on the street. Well, another guy on the street can be, he can possibly do anything to you. Beat you up, rob you, rape you. So if you want me to be another guy on the street, I'll do that.
I don't know what that means.
What it means is, I give as good as I get. If you tell me the truth, then I will treat you with... You've never had it so good. Never. My wife knows this. Beverly knows this. Justin's mother. When she tells me the truth about where she's been in the afternoon, things couldn't go better for her. Jewelry, cars, vacations, another home, and another home, and another home. We have 5 vacation homes. I've made that kind of money, Mr. Henry, and I'm not trying to lord it over anyone or tell you or anybody else how great I am. But to be honest with you, I have the resources. And that's why I called your program. I didn't like the way my son was treated. And if you were going to give me some pushback, then I was going to have to drop the hammer, as we say in the business, you know.
What exactly did you think, what hammer are you going to drop on me?
Oh, boy. What hammer am I going to drop on you? How about a restraining order against ever talking to my son for starters, and then an injunction to shut your radio program down?
Why? What are you going to tell the judge?
I'm going to tell the judge that you're abusing the public trust, having my son in your show, calling him Gloyd Boy, or however you're pronouncing that.
I'd have to get R.C. back on here.
I don't want to talk to that imbecile. That R.C. Cohen is a flat-out imbecile.
R.C., did I ever call this kid Gloyd Boy?
No, sir, you never did, and neither did I. And I don't appreciate being called no name. I'm at a military academy.
I don't care if you're at a military academy. It doesn't make any difference to me. I will sue both of you for the treatment that my son received.
What are you going to sue me for, though? What did I say?
I told you,
if you're talking about the boy being called Bloodamack, that, first of all, sir, that's the name of one of the knights of the Round Table. And it also happens to approximate an insult. That's my business, sir. I'm not mummifying old people and feeding them cat food. I am studying...
Hey, friend. I don't mummify...
All right, hold on for a minute. Put the guy on hold.
Wait.
What I was saying...
Say it again.
I was saying that Gloidamack was the name of a knight of the Round Table, and because it sounded like Gloyd Boy, that's what they call him.
All right, so Gloidamack was the name of a knight?
Yes, sir. He was a French knight. And he was a member of King Arthur's Round Table. It's part of the Arthurian legend, as they call it. We know of Lancelot, but you never hear of Gloidamack or some of the others.
All right, let's get Mr. McElroy back.
Everything. And I will tell you, I've got lawyers from here to there.
Sir, you were not on the air at all. I had you on hold.
Not on the air. Well, if that's the way you treat people. But, Mr. Henry, have a care. Because I love my family.
I'm sure you do.
I love my wife. And I will not allow them to be abused in this way.
I did not abuse your son. Your son lied. You already know that. We never called him Gloyd Boy, Gloidamack, none of that stuff. R.C. Collins says that that's the name of a knight of the Round Table, which the kids find funny.
What is?
Yes, sir, the name Gloidamack was a... He was a knight.
He was a knight?
Yes, sir.
All right.
And so we found that funny when we were studying the Arthurian legends, which I'm sure you're familiar, or I mean King Arthur.
I know who he is, yes.
All right. Gloidamack? Was it Gloidium or Gloidum? There was a dragon named Gloid.
I don't care, and I'm sure that what you're saying is true, but... when you abuse a boy who's been on your program trying the best that he can to tell you about this Arab teacher that he had that didn't understand the English language when it came to the Hitler family, and I told my son, this has nothing to do with Adolf Hitler. Now, my son doesn't know who Adolf Hitler is. Because Justin, I always tell my boys, cut through the horse dung and get right to it. If you don't have to know who Adolf Hitler is, then you don't need to know. And this Arab teacher gave him this zero grade.
Okay, why are you calling him an Arab teacher?
Because that's what he is.
Yeah, but why do you call him that?
You're not the host of the show. I'm not speaking to you.
Sir, but this was my hour.
All right, so fine.
I don't care. It's become my... It might have been your hour. Now it's my hour. How do you like that?
Sir, first of all, your son came on here. He couldn't answer who Adolf Hitler was. He didn't know the state. He didn't know the first names of the families. These are all things that you say your son was failed in because the teacher is an Arab. But my callers agreed with me when we said that your son just didn't know the material and didn't understand why the children were taken from the family in the first place.
The children were taken from the family because they named these children Heinrich Himmler and Adolf Hitler and Jack the Ripper and every kind of disgusting name. That's all my son needed to know. And why it is this Arab couldn't see that. And let me tell you why I call him an Arab.
Because you're a racist.
Boy, oh boy. Woo! You really want some. You really want $300 worth, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Whatever. Well,
and we have to go, sir, so thank you very much.
No one hangs up on Dan McElroy.
Thank you, RC, too. We hung up on him.
But you just hung up on Dan McElroy.
Yeah, so I hung up on Dan McElroy. What about it?
Well, you got mummified people.
Oh, he's got mummified people. What do you think he's going to do, mummify me? I hung up on Dan McElroy. I guess I'll know the consequences.
Yeah, it could be bad. What if he's going to buy advertising?
If I hear that guy's commercials on my show, I'll pull him off the air.
Oh, man, we're in a recession, man. You need every dollar.
I don't need Dan McElroy's money. If I hear it, what do you mean he may become a sponsor?
Right, get Mr. Hall.
I'm going to tell you something right now, and you better listen to me very carefully, bud. Are you listening to me? Bud!
What?
What are you doing fooling around with a pizza box, okay?
Just was looking for the number.
Great, you look for the number. If I get a call from Hall telling me to be nice to that guy because he may buy advertising, I'm going to hang up on him.
Well...
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Are you focusing in on what I'm saying?
Yeah, but Phil, I mean...
If I get a call... And Hall wants to tell me that I got to be nice to Dan McElroy because he may become a sponsor. I'm hanging up on him.
No, are you going to put the advertising on the air?
No, I am not putting the advertising on the air. No! Are you guys listening to me? Or are you looking at the pizza box for the phone number of the pizza joint?
Just found it.
Great. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, News and Information Hour, coming up.
Brian, how do you do?
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. And, of course, we are online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. This is where all of our live streaming video casts that we call, of course, Phil TV and HD, take place each and every night. We also have thousands of hours of archived material there. We have our news feed. We have the comments section. And I'm actually more actively involved in the comments section now, bud. People like that?
Yeah, get a lot of people like the fact that you're over there.
Well, I'm doing a little bit of everything over there. I'm moderating as well because we had a situation present itself. And so forth. So the moderation, but interacting over on our news feed as well as other things, other little specials there in the archives, it's all there at philhenryshow.com. Also, if you go to our homepage, you'll see a link for our podcast. The free Phil Henry podcast is now up and running. Episode 4, baby, is available for download. And as we like to say, download the out of it, just download the hell out of it, man. Do yourself a favor and collect them all. How many we got?
We got four podcasts up now.
Four episodes up there at philhenryradio.com, but you can access it through philhenryshow.com. All right. Hope that isn't confusing. Mayor Bloomberg in New York, those of you listening in New York, you're already very well aware of what some people have called the nanny mayor, Mayor Bloomberg. As one New York institution, the Stock Exchange prepared to celebrate National Donut Day on Friday with a mass giveaway of Krispy Kremes. That's tomorrow. Another New York institution, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, told the city it's time to fight fat by giving up huge sugary drinks. Not only is it time, it soon could be law, Bloomberg said Thursday as he announced a proposal to ban sugar-filled, calorie-laden drinks of more than 16 ounces from thousands of restaurants, delis, movie theaters, food carts, sports venues, and other businesses that serve food and drink. Now, if I'm a tourist, Mayor Bloomberg, and I come to your city, and you may think there's a lot of fat asses that live in New York, you may be right, I don't know, it's none of my business, but I'm a tourist. Now I'm in your city, and I want to get a 16-ounce drink. Are you telling me that my ass is too fat? Well, I mean...
Well, you are on a diet.
Yes, I'm on a diet, but let's just say my diet's over, and now I'm 200 pounds, and I want to get a 16-ounce drink because I'm on vacation in New York. It's a hot freaking summer day in New York, and I want a 16-ounce drink.
No, but Mayor Bloomberg is saying to keep you from being a fat ass.
No.
No, no, you don't get it, man. You see what he... No,
you guys don't get it. Just hold on for a minute. Mayor Bloomberg is doing this for the city of New York, or is he doing it for America? What are you doing, Bloomberg? And, you know, I might as well just get to the point of what it is I'm trying to say.
Yeah, see, you think that he's taking off...
Can you shut up and let me say it, please?
I know you do.
Good, you may know what I'm going to do. I'm going to say it.
You said Giuliani got all the love.
Why don't you let me say what I want? What are you guys... You know what? I'm going to get up and let you guys do the show.
That'd be fine with me.
That'd be fun.
Or, better yet, I'm going to kick your asses out of here. And you know I mean that. So is that what you want?
No.
No, sir.
Then shut up. Pardon me, I shouldn't say shut up. That's rude. Be quiet, if you don't mind.
We'll shut up.
Fine. In any event, Mayor Bloomberg wants to, I believe... And I don't know, because I don't live there, and I don't want to come off sounding like I'm a freaking New York authority. I love the city of New York. I visit as often as I can, but I am not a New Yorker. So I don't know what essentially is in the heart and the mind of Mayor Bloomberg, but from a distance, I'm just telling you, from 3,000 miles away out here on the West Coast, this is my read on Mayor Bloomberg. It's like Giuliani, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but it's like Giuliani made a lot of history when he was mayor of New York. Giuliani came in and cleaned up the city, and he got rid of the gridlock, and he reorganized the police patrolling procedures, and he did this and he did that, and of course he was the mayor at 9/11, and he got all kinds of international play over the I think the outstanding and admirable way that he handled 9/11, and in the aftermath of 9/11 became so popular nationally that he had a very viable presidential campaign going, and you know Giuliani was big time. And no sooner did I hear, and am I wrong when I say this, no sooner did I hear about Giuliani running for president, Bloomberg's running for president. Now, there's a big difference between Bloomberg and Giuliani. What's the big difference? I've heard of Giuliani. I wouldn't know Bloomberg if he passed out in front of me and I had to step over him on my way to get a, you know, a 16-ounce soda. Bloomberg ain't no superstar. Most Americans wouldn't know Bloomberg from,
an iceberg.
Don't do that joke.
That's anti-Semitic.
Shut up. An iceberg. Most people don't know Mayor Bloomberg from, from Snow White, okay? Giuliani's name is a household word because the events of history coincided with his administrative tenure there in New York. And also, I have to give credit where credit is due because of the way that the mayor handled himself during these historic times that we lived through. Would he make a great president? I don't know. I thought he would be the nominee. I thought he'd run a better campaign than he did. Do I like Rudy Giuliani? I admire him. Would I have voted for him? I don't know. These days, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. You know, I, 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 uh, Because I don't want to be locked in by any kind of ideology and any kind of, you know, political party affiliation. But that's not my point. My point is that Bloomberg, it seems to me, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But just from this distance, it seems to me that Bloomberg is trying to compete with Giuliani somehow. He's trying to get some of that love going. He's trying to get some of that history stuff going, you know?
Yeah, that seems that way to me, man. Like, Bloomberg trying to... You know, Giuliani got all that 9/11 admiration and everything, and Bloomberg saying, man, I got to get some of that.
Yeah, so he's going to ban sugar drinks? What a retard.
Hey, man, don't say that, okay? But, I mean, the cat is, like, why was he running for president? Does anybody understand that? That was actually, however long that lasted, that was actually a sort of a semi-serious bid, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that he was, like, a fallback. That some of the Republicans maybe felt that he was more like, but be an independent. That's it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Robert. He was going to run as an independent. But why? What the hell are they talking? What made him so special? You know what I mean? You could say to me the following thing. You could say, well, Bloomberg to New Yorkers is a great mayor. Great. That's wonderful. To Americans, I wouldn't, like I said, I don't know the guy. I don't know what he does. I don't know who he is. I could care less. He's the mayor of New York. And as the mayor of New York, he's important to New York. And if you live in Busted Whistle, Arkansas, then the mayor of Busted Whistle, that's your main man, okay?
Yeah, like your guy's name would be Billy Bob Jones.
Yeah.
Okay, then Billy Bob Jones, the mayor of Busted Whistle, Arkansas, he's your guy.
Yeah, he's going to run for the president.
No one's going to know him, Busted Whistle.
You get all two votes.
Whatever. But to those guys and the locales that they are the mayors of, that's the world. But to the rest of us, Giuliani was a rare, he was a very, very rare rare instance of an American mayor being so well known and so admired and so utterly attractive to so many people that I got a shot at being president of the United States because they've already seen me in the, and I think the thing that gave him credibility with Americans, there's no question, obviously, because of the press around 9/11, but he also looked presidential and seemed to have a grasp of these security matters. So there was a viability to his campaign. The rest of these guys, man, get out of here. Bloomberg. So here comes Bloomberg. Now, he wants to get rid of the sodas. All right. Now, we can argue till we're blue in the face about whether it's a good thing or bad thing. When we got rid of cigarettes, or when we began to, you know, vilify and just absolutely push out of the mainstream of American business the tobacco business because it was a poison, because it's a killer, because it's a this, and because it's a that, we had no idea the floodgates that we were opening up. A lot of people predicted this, though. A lot of people predicted this. A lot of comedians predicted it. A lot of satirists said, I remember the bits. Well, you get rid of cigarettes. Now watch. There's going to be this and that and this and that and helmet laws, everything. Now it's the argument can be made, get rid of the drinks. Why? It's costing me money. That's the only thing that you can say to people that will motivate them up off their ass and have them cast a really stupid vote. Just tell them it'll save them money.
Yeah, they don't give a damn. People going to die.
We don't care whether other people die. We care whether we got to pay for their ass before they die. And it might be wrong. Just like, for instance, the helmet law that I referred to here in California. The helmet law was passed based upon horse dung. They dummied up a bunch of statistics. I'm telling you, this is the truth because I remember it. I remember it as if it was yesterday. They lied to the voters. They were able to sell this lie that people without helmets were costing us a lot of money in emergency room visits, which was complete crap, and they got this law passed. And they'll never get rid of the helmet law now, never, in a million years, because now we have it in our minds, well, you know, we should wear helmets, and the state's enforcing that. Yeah, I mean, we got to wear seatbelts. So, you see, now I'm going to ask you a question. The helmet law was passed during the administration of a Republican governor and a Republican president. So can you honestly tell me this has anything to do with Republican or Democrat? Remember when I said to you that the real fascism, the real totalitarianism that you have to fear is not from the government. It's from these community-minded jackasses and these mothers groups and these uncles groups and this interest group and that interest group and the National Old People's Alliance and all these people that think they're going to make your life better. And gradually, slowly but surely, man, you want to talk about creeping fascism and socialism. It ain't got nothing to do with Obama, man. It's the guy living next door to you.
What are you saying, man? Did that guy's the man in black?
Dude, who owns the camera? Who's most likely to own the camera that's going to be staring at your ass as you sit on the toilet?
What?
Who is most likely to have a camera that's going to be poking in your bedroom window? The government or the guy that lives next door?
Well.
No, not well. Who?
Guy next door.
You got that right. Who's most likely to take that information and embarrass you or run your life into a sewer or make life hell for you? The government or the guy next door?
By the guy next door, man, they're always showing video.
Exactly. We don't know it, but we're doing it to ourselves. We're acting like cops ourselves. Forget about whether there's men in black. All right. Let's just forget about whether there's black men.
Yeah, that means we can fire Robert. Shut up, man.
All right. Okay. We'll be right back. More on. I didn't mean to say KKK, Robert. I meant okay.
All right.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. More news on the man in Miami. And a man who died in a threesome has been awarded. The family of that man has been awarded $3 million because the doctors didn't warn him against extreme physical activity. You ready for that? The guy was in a sexual threesome with another guy and a woman. Or maybe it was two other guys. I'm kidding. Or maybe I'm not kidding. And the family got $3 million because the doctor didn't say, gee, and remember, with a heart condition, no strenuous activity. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL at our world, news and information hour here every single solitary night. Welcome to the program, and welcome back, those of you watching us on Phil TV in HD. Now, coming up, we will have episode 5 on Monday of our free Phil Hendry podcast. I'd like to also announce that we awarded 4 shot glasses to Gary Mazzola, who hashtagged over at Phil Hendry Show, twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. And I'm sure that we will do, we're not going to do any more this coming Monday, but we will probably get some more out to you via our podcast next Thursday. All right. I want to welcome on the air here this evening, we got Margaret Gray, who's going to join us and talk a little bit about Bill O'Reilly and the commentating over on Fox News these days. And I guess it's, you're a liberal, Margaret, so I'm not, you know, I don't expect you to like Bill O'Reilly, but you are taking particular exception here to a commentary that he does with Mary Catherine Hamm, is that right?
Well, yes, so the commentary that, it's not really a commentary, it is the two of them together doing a segment on O'Reilly's program, but it's called O'Reilly and Hamm. And I'm not fooled. I don't know whether or not it's anything that you have picked up on. I don't know who in the media really wants to write about this, because Bill O'Reilly is, he's really sacrosanct. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. Someone who has been guilty of as many off-camera and behind-the-scenes, if you want to be kind, shenanigans, if you don't want to be kind, absolutely disgusting behavior. It's been Bill O'Reilly. He is, without question, I think, a moral degenerate. And let me tell you...
A moral degenerate?
Well, let me tell you what I mean by that.
Okay. I mean, that's a pretty heavy statement. I mean, I know he had the problem with the intern.
Let me be clear. No, he had the problem with the intern. He had a woman in his neighborhood that he was engaged in an affair with. The wife of a police officer who apparently was not too enamored of what his wife was doing with Bill O'Reilly. And this man, O'Reilly, decided to have this police officer looked into. This guy, Bill O'Reilly, throws his weight around, throws his influence around, He is the Babbitt. He's almost a caricature of himself. I've never seen anyone like Bill O'Reilly throw his influence and his weight around the way he does. He's got no problem sitting there on television in front of everyone and saying, well, we'll look into that, and don't you mess with me, I'm Bill O'Reilly. He makes me sick to my stomach looking at the program, the television program that he does, and then seeing a young lady with a good head on her shoulders, a very good mind. Yes, she is a conservative, so politically I disagree with her. But to see Mary Catherine Hamm now being used as an inside joke, I somebody's got to say something about it.
What is the inside joke?
Well, the inside joke, Phil, Bill O'Reilly and Hamm. You know,
excuse me, that is her last name, correct?
Her last name is Hamm. Her name is Mary Catherine Hamm. All right, so to call the segment O'Reilly and Hamm, well, you're already thinking Bill O'Reilly. But when you hear Hamm, you don't know if that's a person or if it's one more filthy and very, very crude reference by Bill O'Reilly.
Well, what are you saying? Are you saying to me that he's calling the show that...
I'm telling you he's calling the show that because he wants to get his young male viewership up by alluding to, in a crude or colloquial fashion, his penis. I'm sorry for whispering, Phil.
Well, as I've told you many times, Margaret, you whisper, people are going to turn their radio up. It doesn't matter if you whisper. So Bill O'Reilly, love him or hate him, a man with a certain standing in the country, I think, in terms of his prominence on television, certainly among broadcasters, is taking his radio show and has brought on board a woman, and because she has a last name of Hamm, he's using the opportunity to call the segment Bill O'Reilly and Hamm because young male viewers...
Can you get to the point? Because you're just going on and on and on. And
I'm explaining... Margaret?
I apologize.
All right, just watch it, okay? I've had a long night tonight. I'm laying out for the audience what it is you just said.
Do you think I'm incoherent?
I do not think you're incoherent. It's my job as the host to restate so my audience gets it. It isn't just you and I talking here. There's a lot of people out there listening.
You hope.
Well, isn't she funny?
All right. That was uncalled for, Phil. I apologize.
No, it doesn't. I don't give a damn. I don't care. You're the one that's on here with your point of view about Hamm. Do you want to move on? If I don't have enough listeners, would you like to just move on?
No, I don't want to move on.
Okay. Then allow me to host the show.
All right, Phil, don't get persnickety, Phil.
Just listen to me. Are you saying that Bill O'Reilly has got this woman working with him, Mary Catherine Hamm, so he can get in the cutie Bill O'Reilly and ha-ha-ha Hamm?
Yes, I am. And why do you find that so unusual?
What? Because I think if he was doing a morning show on an FM rock station, if he was doing our show, if he was doing a comedy show, if he was some schtickmeister, I would believe that. If he was... working on the Skippy and Frank show.
Well, Skippy and Frank, they're degenerates. And
well, okay, so is Bill O'Reilly, so it would make sense. But Bill O'Reilly isn't on the Skippy and Frank show. Bill O'Reilly is on the Bill O'Reilly show. And the last I checked, and excuse me for saying this, one thing he ain't is funny.
No, he's not funny. So why is he trying to be funny? Because it's an area, Phil, that he has not yet exploited. So he is saying Bill O'Reilly and his Hamm. He's not saying his, but that's what the mind is supposed to fill in. Bill O'Reilly and Hamm. Don't you see?
No, I don't. Hold on. Phil Hendry Show will be right back as we discuss whether Bill O'Reilly hired Mary Catherine Hamm so he could get a joke in about Bill O'Reilly and basically his penis. That's why he hired her, because her... Oh, boy. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Why don't you grow up? I'm trying to...
This is the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
Hold on, Margaret, because this is something I've been wanting to get to, and probably others have gotten to it already, but it's worthy of discussion. Screaming, swearing, and referencing the Bible, red-faced Illinois Representative Mike Bost is his name, punched at papers he threw in the air while lambasting the state's powerful House Speaker. Then he swiped his microphone away and flopped back in his chair. The videotaped tirade is creating an online stir, and he said Thursday that he's received mostly positive reactions since his outburst. One of the things that he was pissed off about that in reading this story, of course, I won't be able to get to it because whoever wrote this, is this Reuters? No, it's Associated Press. One of the reasons why he was angry is they're given very little time to read really long bills. He screamed profanities and referenced the Bible. They keep saying reference the Bible, but they won't tell you why he was screaming. What is wrong with you people at Associated Press, you scum-sucking dogs? Why don't you get... I'm not a religious nut, and I'm not into the whole Christian right thing, but if the cat was there saying, you're only giving us 20 or 15 minutes to read a 300-page bill, he's right. He's right. And that's why it's creating an online stir, because the guy is saying, if you want me to actually vote on a bill that's 300 pages long, then you better get me time to read that damn thing. And if I read that damn thing, I'm going to be even more aware of the crap that you're sticking in it, and I'm probably going to vote against it, and so therefore you don't want me to read it, you just want me to vote on it. These damn bills that come out of here all the damn time come out of here at the last second, and I've got to try to figure out how to vote for my people, he screamed. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Boss said his frustration was a long time coming. The tipping point came as lawmakers prepared to vote on a contentious plan to overhaul the state's overburdened pension system, and Democrats used the 1995 rule to block debate or amendments. Boss from Murfreesboro in southern Illinois erupted. He said he later felt like an Israelite slave being held in ancient Egypt. Is that what they mean about referencing the Bible? This is the most biased article I've ever read, but I'm gleaning from the article the essential point. And the essential point is, if you want me to read this bill, then we can't vote on it right now. If you want to vote on it right now, then I'm going to have to vote no, because I haven't been able to read it. If you let me read it, I will probably vote against it anyway, because it's probably chock full of all kinds of pork and crap. Now, I don't know what kind of pork you get at the state level, but you know what I'm saying. Okay, Margaret, I'm sorry. I suppose you saw that, right?
Well, I did. I think you're oversimplifying this. The Democrats had a bill in Illinois that, if you're a Democrat, obviously it's a bill that's going to support people in a public way. And this is just one more Republican who is trying to stop the economic recovery by screaming and yelling. And
well, what was the bill they were voting on?
I don't know what the bill was. But I'm saying, again, if you are a Democrat, are you listening to me, Phil?
Yes, I am.
You're obviously sponsoring a bill that is good for people, or at least is going to support people, and the Republicans don't like that.
Is that what that is? So, in other words, it was a really good bill, and he's a Republican, so he's an ass, so that's why he's voting against it.
Oh, Phil, don't be a child, you know.
Isn't that what you're saying?
Yeah, but you're being very childish. You know as well as I do.
No, I don't know as well as you do. I'm trying to find out what this bill was about. You're telling me it was...
It's a Democratic bill, so it's going to be some sort of a social program. And I guess that's going to get all of your little conservative listeners out of the woodwork and start screaming and yelling about, oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, Phil, I came on your program to talk about one thing, Bill O'Reilly. And you have taken this to... It's a left turn that I was not prepared for.
All right, I apologize. You're absolutely right.
Which doesn't mean that I don't have a comment on it that is cogent, intelligent, and right. And I'm sorry to... Oh God, there's Mary Catherine Ham now. Look at the teeth on that, will you?
And okay, where are you seeing her?
She's on Fox News right now, and she's got a big, wide... Good God, how does she keep those out of the way?
All right, if you want to talk about a woman's teeth...
Well, Phil, if you saw the woman, it is a face, it's eyes and teeth. That's what she's got. You know, you understand, something happened in Miami that was very traumatic the other day. My God, all you have to do is turn on Fox News and see a glimmer of what people were talking about when you look at Mary Catherine Hamm. Eyebrows and teeth. Just...
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about that Mary Catherine Hamm.
Phil, have you seen him? And
oh, have I seen him?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen Mary Catherine Hamm.
That's gender confusion.
Oh, does he really? Every time you're on the air, I got to deal with that.
What is your problem?
What, has she got another stick shoved?
Yes, she does. Look, Phil,
I don't have a stick shoved. I don't like anybody being described as eyebrows and teeth.
Have you seen Mary Catherine Hamm?
Yes, I have.
It's just, if her face could talk, not her mouth, but if the face said something, this is what it would say.
Boy, that ain't kidding, Phil. I mean, that guy's face, you look at him, and it's just these, a row of white teeth, lipstick, and a hairline. And
no eyes.
Not that I can see.
So, Eddie, can we get back to Bill O'Reilly?
Yeah, I'd like to get back to Bill O'Reilly now that we've sidetracked off on a Mary Catherine Hamm's face. You know, you guys are really cruel.
Oh, stop it. She's, obviously they think she's a piece of you-know-what because they've got her on TV. Her legs hanging out. She's got her garter belt. I got to tell you something, Phil. I don't know how Fox can talk about family values when they've got this ham and she's got it all hanging out there.
The other thing, Phil, they don't want anybody spanking ham.
Frank, give me the phone, will you?
All right, if you don't get control of him, I'm hanging up.
Give me the phone, Frank. All right, look, that's what I wanted to talk about, Phil. The Bill O'Reilly Show with Mary Catherine Hamm. Now, as I said to you, Phil, Bill O'Reilly is attempting to pull the younger male audience. What are you going to do, Phil, and won't you feel like the a-hole when they change the show's name to Bill O'Reilly is Spanking Him?
What?
Do you want me to yell it out?
I told you, I can't hear you, Margaret, and it doesn't matter.
I'm saying, if they change the name of the show, Bill O'Reilly is Spanking Him.
Hear what he said?
No, I did. Spanking?
Yeah.
What about that?
Well, I tell you what, if they ever change the show to Bill O'Reilly is Spanking Ham, okay?
No, not is spanking. What is that? What sense does that make?
That doesn't make any sense.
Then what is the name of the show?
Bill O'Reilly and Spanking Ham.
Well, then that's not even funny.
It's not, why? Well, what would they call it, Frank?
Call it Bill O'Reilly Spanking.
Yeah, that's it. Bill O'Reilly Spanks Ham.
Well, whatever they call the show, if they change the name to something along those lines, then, Margaret, I owe you a steak dinner at Morton's. How about that, okay?
You're on.
About me?
Both of you. All the margaritas that you want to drink, all of the dirty martinis that you want, whatever you'd like, I will buy you guys dinner, no questions asked. Thank you very much, Margaret Gray.
What are you doing? You're hanging up on me? The segment's not over.
I can't take it any longer. Thank you. Bill O'Reilly Spanks Ham.
Don't ever allow that on Fox on account of the family values.
Yeah, on account of the family values, huh? Now, I don't think anybody's ever going to be able to... And I got to be perfectly honest with you. For a liberal, Margaret, and I know you're still listening. I know she's in the car and she's just turned the radio all the way up. And she's really getting angry because she's not, you know, she can't respond to any of this. For a liberal, Margaret, you are a catty woman. I thought that you women, don't you stick together and support each other and, you know, hey, all for one and one for all?
Yeah, that's what I ought to do, man. And she's all talking about Mary Catherine Hamm, all like Bill O'Reilly Spank Hamm, and she's all teeth.
Exactly. She's talking, you were talking about catty. You're talking about the poor woman's, she's a perfectly lovely girl.
Well, but I wouldn't go that far.
What do you mean you wouldn't go that far? Are you telling me there's something... So she's got big teeth, whatever, okay?
I don't know, man.
A lot of women, beautiful women, have big teeth. Whatever, man. I'm not even going to talk about it. There's nothing wrong with that lady's face. For Margaret to come on here and start talking about, you know, Bill O'Reilly and Hamm, and she's got the big teeth and this and that. Oh, my God, you're kidding. You're kidding, right?
No, Russell Brand on FX.
Well, good for him. So that to me is a very, that's an unacceptable point of view, an unacceptable position for her to say something like that. All right, let's get to the story that I originally wanted to get to, oh, I don't know, about last week, shall we say? We say we're going to do stories, we never do them.
Well, Margaret Gray, come on.
Yeah, but what did I tell you last night? I told you.
Instead of reminding you about the story.
Yes, I told you to remind me of what stories we are not getting to so we can get to them.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you remind me about this one?
Because you were off, you were talking about the ham.
So I was talking about the ham. What's that got to do with my direction to you, bud? Please remind me of stories we haven't gotten to so we can get to them before the show.
It was probably the ham. He was editorializing.
Yeah, I was editing the show and I thought Ham Spank was more interesting.
Oh, well, guess what? And what do you mean Ham Spank? We were talking about Catherine Ham. Forget it. Family of man who died in threesome awarded $3 million. Boy, you talk about the quality and the material on this show just going up and up and up. We're moving on from Ham and Spank now to some guy in a threesome.
Were the two guys?
No, it was two guys and a chick.
That's a foursome.
No, it was not a foursome. What are you talking about? It's a threesome.
It was a threesome, man.
It was what, two guys and a chick?
He was one of the guys.
You get it, bud?
Oh.
Oh, God, I'm tired. The family of a man who died in a three-in-the-bed sex romp. This is how the British are describing it in the Mail Online. I love the Mail Online's website. This is the Daily Mail out of Great Britain. They've got a terrific news website. The family of a man who died in a three-in-the-bed sex romp have won $3 million in damages against the doctor who failed to warn him about extreme physical activity. William Martinez, 31, dude, 31, suffered a fatal heart attack caused by the excitement and physical activity with a woman and another man. The married father of two died a day before he was due to have a heart stress test. A court in Georgia heard that the woman involved in the sex romp were not his wife. Oh, the women involved in the sex romp.
Yeah, see?
Well, what do you mean, see?
I told you it's a four. They had four.
It says three. It says a woman and another man.
Yeah, but then it said the women.
Well, maybe the guy was involved in a threesome that the woman, the X factor, if you will, kept changing.
So it's still three.
Yes. Why would I have to explain that?
Just because it's confusing.
If they say it's a threesome, then maybe the women, I don't know, man. Maybe they got it wrong. Maybe you're right, bud. Maybe, 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 maybe. All those maybes don't make... lawyers representing the estate of Mr. Martinez, by the way, is this British? Maybe the way they talk English over there? A court in Georgia heard that the women involved were not his wife. Lawyers representing the estate of Mr. Martinez filed a medical malpractice suit against Dr. Sfunulabaka. Oh, yeah, okay.
I told you! Told you! He's from India, right?
Well, that doesn't make any difference to me. I knew you guys would go racial on it.
Yeah, you just did.
Yeah, you were all saying, oh, yeah.
No, I knew that when the guy had an Indian name, you guys would go racial on it. Okay?
Yeah, but how can you deny it?
Shut up, bud. How can I deny it? Lawyers representing the estate of Mr. Martinez filed a medical malpractice suit. Let me find my glasses. I got to read this cat's name right. Have we broken yet, Dan? Not yet. Okay, let's break, and then we'll come back so I can practice reading this guy's name.
Let me see.
Yeah, no, I'll do it. No, me. Which one are you guys going to do it? Hey, give me the papers, okay? I can't see myself. I can't see you. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Give me those.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, in the final segment here of our News and Information Hour. I want to just mention here very briefly for our, I'll mention it during our post-show or our pre-show tomorrow night. Never mind. It's something I wanted to say to the Backstage Pass members, and I can say it to you during our pre-show. If you do not have a Backstage Pass, go over to philhendryshow.com and get one so you can watch our pre-show and anything else that we're doing here. That looks like Mary Catherine Ham.
Yeah, that's a weight control program.
Yeah, so
Yeah, you just said she's fat.
No, I just said it looked like her. I didn't know it was a weight control commercial. Anyway, getting back to our website, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. You know what I'm talking about. Now, these guys that this man, the family is suing, and they won $3 million off this doctor, a gentleman by the name of Gansari. I guess I got it wrong.
Yeah, I think so.
Gangasani. That's it. Gangasani. They claimed he had failed to warn Mr. Martinez about taking part in any physical activity after he visited him to complain about chest pains a week before this threesome that this man was involved in that stressed him out to the point where he died. He wasn't with his wife. He was with a series of chicks in a threesome, and he died. Lawyer Rod Edmond and Tricia, or lawyers Rod Edmond and Tricia Hoffler, told a jury Martinez had called at the cardiovascular group in Lawrenceville, Georgia, after experiencing a pain in his chest that shot up his arm, which is not good. You get chest pains and pains in your left arm.
By your left arm.
Because that's where your heart is located, left of center. That, at least that's what I've heard. Maybe that's not why. But anyway, the left arm, it's bad. Martinez had high blood pressure. What are you guys doing?
I'm just working on my left arm.
But they're both sitting here rubbing their left arms. You guys are young men. You're not going to have heart attacks, okay?
That guy was 31.
Well, he had a bad ticker, man. I mean, obviously, he'd been in already talking to the doctors. Martinez had high blood pressure, and other tests showed he was at high risk of having clogged arteries. Obviously, this guy was a genetic risk of some kind. I mean, probably had it in his family. The court heard that Dr. Gangasani arranged a stress test for Martinez, but did not tell him to refrain from any... Why are you doing monkey faces?
Because you sound like you're all Dr. Gangasani.
Shut up! Sitting over there making monkey faces. Ha ha ha! The lawsuit was launched after Martinez from Lawrenceville, Georgia, died in March of 2009. According to the Atlanta Journal, it's not clear if the lawsuit was brought on behalf of Martinez's wife or his two sons. A jury in Gwinnett County State Court initially awarded Martinez to be 40% liable for his own death, reducing the verdict to $3 million. Lawyers who represented Dr. Gangasani and the cardiovascular group in Lawrenceville said they will appeal the decision. We're definitely going to appeal the verdict and the judgment, said Gary Lowell. There you go. What do you think?
Well, I think the guy, I don't know. I mean, don't you supposed to have responsibility?
Well, I do you have to say, and you may have to say this, I don't know the answer to this. If you've got a bad heart, I think you still, as a doctor, you need to say something. If you've got a bad heart, or if you're in there and you're complaining of chest pains, and the doctor is saying, okay, chest, this, that, at some point there's an exchange of information between doctor and patient. A test is conducted, the this and the that. The doctor says, okay. The only question here is, he went in for this test. Actually, he was going in for a stress test. So they had not yet made the diagnosis. Okay? So I don't know what this guy was expecting the doctor to say to him if there had not yet been a diagnosis.
Yeah, but he had a pain in his arm.
He had a pain in his arm, which doesn't necessarily mean that he has a heart problem. I've got pains in my arms and my shoulders, man, because I got a bad neck. I got a bad rib cage. I mean, I've been injured. Okay, in both of my shoulders. So I've got pains. So do I have a heart problem? No.
Well, I mean, well, how do they know then?
They know by giving you a stress test, man. So if this guy said, I've got pains in my arms, well, okay, let's see if it's your heart. Come on in for a stress test. He was scheduled to go in. He'd not yet been in. He dies. And what are they saying the doctor was supposed to say to this cat?
Maybe he'd been on a doctor before.
Maybe, maybe, maybe. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. You know, these doctors now are saying the following thing. They're saying, I'm not going to give any more tests, man. They cost too much money. If people don't want to spend so much money for health care, then fine. Then I won't be ordering as many tests as I order. Okay? But let me tell you something, man. Then I've got to back up the... I got to back up my malpractice insurance because Jackass is going to sue me because I didn't order up all these tests because he can't afford to pay for all these tests. But in the meantime, he couldn't afford to pay for all the tests. And guess what? He had a heart attack, and now he's suing my ass because I didn't find out something, because I didn't run a test, because I wanted to save him money. Good Lord. Me? Pay the money, get the test, and just make more money.
Yeah, got to be rich.
Exactly. Try and be rich, folks. That's the only way. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft, who also wrote a joke that we didn't... Oh, yeah, Dan did write the Spank Ham joke, so I'm sorry that we didn't mention that. And, bye.
Phil Henry.